Kizer's about to take over with Sunday Night Live in the next 2 hours. Massive news, breaking clips, calls, you name it. He always knocks out of the park. The great Chase Kizer about to take over. But I want to finish up with Carl Sarovan. It is often, like I said, with Al Capone, income tax goes to prison, not all the murders. And I know a bunch of rich people, powerful people. The truth is that once you have a bunch of money or people with money, there's nothing really out there except better hotel rooms, better travel, better medicine, whatever. But it is all about private aviation. That is the thing. When you know rich people, like, hey, fly with us here. You get on a plane, 3 hours later, you're in a badass ski resort. It's so cool. It's awesome. And in government, they don't. The generals, the colonels, all of them. The federal government has thousands of private jets. And so this is the real perk. And then it's one thing if there's an emergency, use the jets, or you know their cabinet members have the jets, but all the agencies want these jets. And so they use it as a political thing to attack the Democrats with their expansion of private jets. It's kind of like the ballroom. Even though Trump got private donors to do it, they go, oh, Trump doesn't care about poor people, the ballroom. Distraction. So they understand that this is a real chink in the armor. So they were talking about Pam Bondi, and they are replacing some of these planes. So a lot of this is spin. But Pam Bondi says she doesn't want new jet after Independent exposes FBI plan for new airplane to shuttle her around.
Well, I mean, that was my story, Alex. That was my story. I broke it over on X, and then the Independent picked it up and went and found the same stuff that I was showing, which are just requests for quotations. They were, you know, they were doing RFQs and whatnot, and they were trying to find out if they could get a new plane. And she realized the optics were terrible, so she opted out. Like, good on her. She's smart enough to realize what politics is about.
Sure, and if there's a big event or official business, fly on a private jet. It's just that the Pentagon has, I mean, it's ridiculous. Thousands of jets these people are flying around on, and it's all part of the fraud, waste, and abuse, and it's a huge part of this. But see how we're talking about this, and I'm not against it. But we have Patel getting $5 million from a Chi-Com control company. You have Patel trying to cut off intelligence about terror, not just Charlie Kirk. You have Patel, you know, doing all of this stuff, going against what he said he would do. Those are my issues, but I don't know why the public, and I'm not blaming you, you cover it all, but notice they hone in on the jet thing because I guess
because it's easy hypocrisy. It's easy to see it. People know that they don't get to fly in a private jet. Seriously though, he went on Benny Johnson's show. If you'll play the clip, like I said, 30 seconds worth, you'll hear exactly what he says. The guy says, ground the jet. Let's do it. I agree with Kash Patel back in the day.
Yeah, here's a clip.
So are you, like, in closing here, I want to just be very clear. Republicans could get Epstein's list out now? Like, how would that process work?
Simple. One subpoena to the FBI. Give me the list. Oh, you don't want to give me the list and you're going to break the law and commit contempt of Congress? We're going to take your money. We're going to take Chris Ray's private jet. Taxpayer-funded G5 rides across the country to his Appalachian State vacation home down to Georgia and all over the rest of the place. That guy doesn't need a G5 government-funded jet. And the second you take that money, you get Epstein's list.
And then he becomes everything he said he was against.
Yeah, what if that's the thing? What if we just got to take the jet, then we get the Epstein list, Alex? I mean, that's what old Cash said. I agree with old Cash. I mean, this is easy.
And later we're told there is no Epstein list.
That's right. That's when the flip started for a lot of people. It happened earlier for me. Because I started seeing this move. He was immediately ghosting all the whistleblowers. So for me, that was an obvious indication that we were about to see something very different than what we expected. But yeah, there's so much on record of what the man said about all the things that we're talking about. The hypocrisy is very obvious. And the optics are even more glaring in the middle of a government shutdown, which is what the Trump administration understands. They do understand optics.
All right,
he's a showman.
Break.
He gets it.
I want to come back and talk about Epstein and then close this out. King Charles confronted over it. His brother being defrocked, no longer a member of the royals. So definitely, they know more is about to come out. Let's talk about that with Carl Sarovan. They hand the ball to the great Chase Kizer. Straight ahead. Stay with us.
Hey, the Alex Jones app, AJN Live, is now the number one app in the world. That's right. You heard me. We're number one. And this is pissing off the Democrats and the deep state big time. They're doing everything they can to shut us down, and now here we are, dominating the Apple Store.
Smells like victory.
We just launched the app less than 2 days ago, and we're already the number one news app in the world. And we'd like to keep it that way, so if you haven't done so yet, now's your chance. Go to alexjonesapp.com and download the app. And tell the globalists to go f*** themselves.
Truth is under attack, and you're on the front lines. Share this broadcast from your host, Alex Jones.
It's Sunday Night Live, or tomorrow's news tonight. Chase Geiser, hand the baton to him in just a few minutes, but we know King Charles is Prince Charles, best buddy with Jimmy Savile, the confirmed mass Satanist pedophile. Oh, my God. If you don't know about it, folks, look into it. We know you've got Ghislaine Maxwell's dad with MI6 Mossad running these pedophile honeypots. That's all come out. And so now you've got the king's old, you know, younger brother, Prince Andrew, being defrocked, being evicted from the palace, kicked out of the royal family, all of this happening, and now the king's being confronted in public. And this goes to Kash Patel promoting himself for FBI Director to release all this and saying it doesn't exist, go to sleep. And they just hope it goes away. It doesn't go away. And
no.
So I want to play this clip of King Charles just yesterday. How long have you known about Andrew and Epstein? Here it is.
How long have you known about Andrew and Epstein? Have you asked the police to cover up for Andrew? Have you asked the police to cover up for Andrew's Charles? What do you think? Should the MPs be allowed to debate the royals in the House of Commons?
So, from all your sources, you were the first person to tell me 8 months ago or whatever, no, it's a cover-up. And you said, it's not even, and we now have this from whistleblowers and leaked tapes and all of it, it's not even Trump. Trump's like, yeah, go find the files. They go find the files. They're all spiked with, you know, Jane Doe's and BS. And then all this is happening. And of course, there's not one Epstein file. But now we know more files have been released. You know, you've got Prince Andrew all over the place. Trump's nowhere there in the files. Then why is Trump going along with this?
I don't know. I mean, he's not going to be, Trump doesn't go out there and look at files and release things. At the end of the day, he's going to have to take the word of the people that he's working with. All we know is what we can see. What we can see is that certain people have changed their tune, not just a little bit, not just kind of, but all the way. They've gone 100% 180 from let's ground the jet and let's force and squeeze the guy that's in the job to give up the files. And he's the one who's got the sole control of it. Then you give him the job and he's like, yeah, there's nothing there. He didn't track to anybody. Do you think that if there was, Kash Patel has this tell. He relies on his own sort of like self-assessment of what people believe his character is. He's like, you know, do you think that if they were bad guys doing this thing that I would cover up for them? It's like, I don't know. Would you? That's the real question. The follow-up is you just asked a question. You can't answer the question with a question. And Patel does this over and over again. So I don't know what happened to him. I've been told on multiple occasions, and it could be just the Chinese piece, that he's been compromised. But why they want to hide this or why there is anything there? Listen, if there's nothing there and there's a possibility, we should at least expect that there's a spectrum of things. There could be absolutely nothing where everybody blew Epstein out of proportion, all the way up to elite pedophiles were getting away with like destroying the lives of little girls, right? Or young girls. That's the spectrum. Okay. If there was nothing there, if it was basically a fabrication and a right-wing media just went off the rails and they all thought it was Bill Clinton and all the other bad guys and they're bad actors and they just been talking out of their asses for years. Fine. There's a way to do it. There's a way not to do it. Isn't Patel a media guy? Isn't Bongino theoretically a media guy? Aren't they theoretically people that understand messaging?
Well, that makes me go back to this. Why did they first get in and immediately during the headlights say, forget it all, don't look at it? I mean, exactly. Obviously they're being told to do this. So in closing,
why? Yeah.
What are your predictions for the crisis, I would say, at the DOJ with Todd Blanche and Pam Bondi and Kash Patel and Dan Bongino? Where is this going? You say, well, yeah, the AG of Missouri is ready. I know that's the plan, but like, what else is going on? What do you predict is going to happen?
Okay, so I told you your audience this, and people are like, I thought you said he was going away. Bongino hates what he does. He's absolutely miserable. I don't blame him. It's a crappy job, and I wouldn't want it either. Being a podcast host is way more fun than, FBI deputy director. It's a sucky job. It's really hard, and it's a lot of work, and it's a place that nobody is going to get any – like, there's no joy in that job. I expect he still leaves. I still think he leaves. I don't know whether it's going to be by, Thanksgiving. That would be a good time to leave because there's family, and he realizes he's got to go, and Trump thanks him for his service. What I'm told is that Blanche – and Bondi despise him. They got into that thing over the Epstein stuff and others. They don't get along. They don't speak. But Trump won't let him be fired. So he's got to leave on his own terms because he's got Trump's protection. So he's going to have to find a way out, and it's going to be either family crisis or emergency, or, I can't do any more time away from my wife and it can't be fixed and whatever it needs to be. He'll find a soft exit. I still think by the end of the year, there's no other reason. And it's just a question of how long he can stick it out and try to make it look like he did something. I think he needs a win. And you guys actually saw him go out there and claim the win. He did summer heat. He was the architect of summer heat. And he went out and did like a big anti-crime push in all the major cities. The FBI does that every year, by the way, in every single field office. They
just
gave
him a name.
That's another
question. What do you make of the supposed ISIS sting in Dearborn?
Well, if you look, the AP actually just said that there's nothing there. And everything I've heard is said that he went way too early. Cash Patel did. He didn't coordinate with the DOJ and specifically the United States Attorney's Office in that area. And it sounds like he may have effed up some serious equities in the intelligence community, because whenever you have these counterterrorism cases, it's not just the FBI investigating. When you start talking about foreign nexus, that's what we use to talk about either like an ISIS or an Al-Qaeda or any other foreign terrorist organization. The collection on that is being done by someone else, NSA, CIA, depending on if it's human, if there's, there may be NRO, there's other, NGA, there's all these different these different agencies that are out there looking into foreign countries to try to establish that link overseas. Now, the FBI will do the prosecution in America if it's an American plot, but you kind of want to know who the actors are overseas. And from everything I heard, they jumped the gun simply to try to take the credit and throw this
jet story
away.
Just like he did the day before, saying we have the Kirk assassins, so finally...
That's exactly it. It's a jump the gun sort of thing. And again, this is a flailing toddler. This is like, I'm in trouble. Can I tell mommy I did something good? Or can I tell daddy I did a good job? And the real problem is, and I think that people are furious with him, he may have screwed up a real opportunity to identify cells overseas that are trying to recruit Americans. And if that's the case, if that's what they were actually trying to establish, that's what I hear, then he really dicked up something serious. And there are serious people that are really, really upset about this, to include, going back over to ODNI, the same problem we talked about. So this guy is operating in a childlike manner in maybe one of the more serious jobs that the American government has.
By the way, of all this, there's a lot of danger signs, but not wanting to scoop the intelligence and trying to say you're not involved to things created by Congress, to me, that's the cut and dry scandal right there.
It's really, really straightforward. If you're sending your agents in on a complaint to go out there and pick somebody up because you need a PR win. And by the way, I think they had another PR window lined up, Alex. I watched the jet go down to Mexico. So here's what happened last week. If people don't realize this, on Sunday, about a week ago, the jet flew down to, on Saturday, it went to State College and there was the singing. And that's when the girlfriend sang at the wrestling event. And then it went back to Nashville and they spent the night there. On Sunday morning last week, a week ago today, it flew down to San Angelo, Texas, and I'm told he was out there at a hunting ranch, which is cool because it's nice to go hunting in Texas in fall. So he was apparently at a hunting ranch doing some kind of like luxury, rich guy hunting lodge experience. And on Wednesday, when the scandal broke that I was pushing this forward, that was on the 25th, I started pointing out like this misuse of the jet, I'll call it. That's when he got called back in and they started scheming on what it was. They fired the guy. They go out there and they did this Friday morning takedown for Halloween of a terrorist cell that they weren't ready to take down yet. And apparently they may not even have a real case against these people because they hadn't solidified a target. So they may have screwed up a multi-year investigation. And at the end of the day, these are probably set up jobs. They've already told us that they were FBI confidential sources in the chat, in the servers that they were doing. So this was all set up like they normally do. This is the same office that did the Whitmer hoax, for everyone who wants to say, well, it's ISIS. It's like, yeah, but it's the same FBI, and the FBI does the same thing. It doesn't matter if you're a Muslim or if you're a white supremacist or if you're just a MAGA guy, they'll set you up no matter what. That's what they do.
All right. They've amazing. Amazing. Years, Kyle Serafin, you're batting 1,000. Thank you so much. KyleSerafinShow.com. Finding you on X. Let's talk soon. Thank you so much.
It's been my pleasure.
Scary stuff, folks. All we know is that Cash Patel does not want Tulsi Gabbard looking over his shoulder when it was created by Congress to do that. That's not good. And that's cut and dry. So there you go. And then you got Bondi and Blanche mad at him because he's embarrassing. So this is not going to end well, but it shows the power of the people and the independent press that they're so scared of Carl Serafin. They are so scared of him. And thank God we have people that have courage like him. Oh, he's a sour grape. Oh, he's an asshole. Well, he's been accurate. That's what I go off of. Who's been the most accurate? I want to be accurate, and I want to have guests on and sources on that are accurate. It's a real simple rule. And I don't sit around when I have some big story and go, what'll happen to me or what's the ramification of that? I mean, obviously I could be in the White House, already been invited, you know, press corps, all that. But I want to be outside of it because that's where the real power is. I'm not a politician. I'm trying to get government contracts. I'm just telling it like it is. All right. The mighty Chase Geyser takes over right now. He's loaded for bear in the next hour and 45 minutes. Look at that. All right, you got a lot to cover, a lot of clips, a lot to do. Great job, crew, tonight. Great job to all the listeners. We're going to cut up the last 2 hours, get that out, cut up your show, get it out. That's where the audience comes in to share those clips. I didn't plug one time, but so busy on news. TheOliveShowShore.com, Methylene Red, going to sell out the next 24 hours. Discounted, it's so incredible. The only place that has Methylene Red, it's so special. TheOliveShowShore.com. Chase Geyser takes over.
Thank you so much, Alex. Honor and a pleasure to be with you. And able to host this show on Sunday nights on your network. Well, I tell you what, I was listening to the last 45 minutes of the Alex Jones Show this evening, and Carl Serafin is always 100% on the money, impressive with everything that he does. But I thought tonight was particularly impressive, and I'm doing the best I can to avoid getting blackpilled. I don't want to be one of these people that falls into this trap of being abundantly negative and pessimistic and just, you know, woe is me. What does it all mean? What does it matter anyway? But it's hard not to have thoughts like that when you see an administration that you had to fight so hard to get in have these vulnerabilities. Now, I'm not blaming Trump. I'm still very glad that I voted for Trump, even just for the fact that he pardoned all the J6ers. I'm still very glad that I voted for Trump, even just for the fact that he stopped the bleeding at the border, let alone maximizing the deportations, whether or not that's going to play out. And so I'm grateful for Trump in that way. But as I was talking about earlier this week, when I was streaming and just testing out some different details and settings and things for my setup over here, we've gotten to a place where the problems in the United States of America have gotten so complicated, so involved, that it's almost impossible to imagine an individual president of the United States or an individual senator or an individual congressman that would have even close to the skills necessary, or the features rather, necessary to solve these problems. What I mean is you have to have somebody who's incredibly competent. They have to be incredibly well-versed and knowledgeable about things like economics, both domestic and international, foreign policy, war, currencies, all of the different details of the management of the different bureaucracies and agencies that exist within the federal government here. They also have to understand not just constitutional law, but state level law. And they have to know the names and the dispositions and the relationships of all the different governors and all the different people in leadership throughout the entire country. So they have to have this incredible amount of competence, knowledge, skills in terms of management, expertise, decision making, and they have to be able to execute on actually coming up with the right policy, but execute on the leadership to get the right policy passed. Plus, they have to have a perfect moral compass on top of that, so they can't be corrupted or compromised. And you start adding up everything that the perfect president or senator or congressman needs in order for us to actually peacefully solve the problems and the level of corruption that we've reached here in the United States of America. And you very quickly realize that, whoa, it's impossible to imagine any individual person actually good enough to do the job in a way that could peacefully solve all of our problems. I mean, you pretty much would have to have Jesus Christ as president of the United States, in my opinion, to peacefully reverse the level of corruption that we've reached here in the United States of America. That's where I begin to start feeling blackpilled. That's where things start to feel a little dark for me. That's where I start to feel a little perturbed. And yes, I'm grateful that Donald Trump won this election. And I'm glad that I voted for him. I think he was by far and away the best president I could have possibly voted for of any of the options. And frankly, maybe of anyone. Maybe he was even better, not just than any of the other options of people who ran for president of the United States, but maybe he was better than anyone else in the United States of America who could have run for president. Maybe that is the case based on his experience, his network, everything that he went through between his first term and his second term with the lawfare and the assassination attempts, the character building that we saw take place. Maybe he is the best. But then you see these dipshits like Kash Patel in power, somebody who I was initially excited about. I liked everything that he said on his little podcast tours and his cute little shirt that said Cash as if it was his name, but it was also maybe about money somehow. Oh, wow, this Indian guy really knows how to say what I want to hear. This Indian guy really knows how to just stick it to him. This is going to be great. And then he gets into office and he proceeds to act like a total faggot. Absolute faggot. And let me tell you something about his girlfriend. I don't really know her. She went to college the same year that I went to college, Belmont University. He describes her as a country sensation, a country singer sensation. Everybody at Belmont University thinks that they're a country sensation and nobody gives a damn about any of them. None of them are country star sensations. I think the last person that went to Belmont University and wound up being a country sensation was Brad Paisley. That was like 15 years ago. All right. There's successful people there. Yes, there's Grammy Award winning audio engineer professors there, things of that nature. There's impressive people there, but I mean, she's not a country sensation, Cash. And no, I don't believe any of the conspiracies about her being with the IDF or Mossad or whatever. She's just some cute pageant girl. Belmont University is a pageant school. She went to Belmont University to become a country star, and she's not some country sensation. And frankly, I was embarrassed to see him come out with this statement today. I was going to show you some of these clips first, but I'll just show you this statement. He comes out with this bizarre statement today. Very bizarre to be hearing the director of the FBI coming out with a massive statement in defense of his girlfriend. She's not even his wife. She's his girlfriend. And he's coming out making these just like bizarre, emotional, egotistical remarks. He just sounds like a high school kid who like heard that maybe you were talking a little bit of trash about his girlfriend. So he feels like he's got to come out and make a statement. It's like very beneath the office of the director of the Federal Bureau of Investigation. Oh my God. I'm just scrolling through here on Twitter and seeing all the stuff I bookmarked for the show. Yeah. This is what Kash Patel says. I'll just show you here. I'm proud of the work of this FBI. We're taking violent criminals off the streets in record numbers, crushing the fentanyl crisis, dismantling cartels, saving children, hunting down terrorists, and so much more. Let me be clear. Remember, he used to say that all the time? We will not be distracted by baseless rumors or the noise from uninformed internet anarchists and the fake news. What the hell are you talking about, Cash? I've always said, criticize me all you want. More like,
criticize me all you want.
But going after the people doing great work, my personal life, or those around me is a total disgrace. The disgustingly baseless attacks against Alexis, a true patriot and the woman I'm proud to call my partner in life, are beyond pathetic. She is a rock solid conservative and a country music sensation who has done more for this nation than most will in 10 lifetimes. I'm so blessed she's in my life. Attacking her isn't just wrong, it's cowardly and jeopardizes our safety. My love of family will always be my cornerstone, and you will never tear that down to keep me from them. I and this FBI will stay laser focused on our mission and continue the reform we promised, rebuilding this bureau from the ground up. And to our supposed allies, staying silent, your silence is louder than the clickbait haters. What a faggot. What an absolute holy shit level of faggot have we just witnessed from Kash Patel. Total abundant faggotry happening right here. I mean, you hear people complain about Israel and the Jews and the genocide that just took place. There is a genocide on morale in America from this fucking faggot, Cash Patel. I cannot believe that we have somebody who is the director of the FBI, perhaps the most powerful and corrupt agency in the history of powerful and corrupt agencies in the United States of America. Maybe the NSA or the CIA aside, IRS, maybe one of those other three letters beats it, who is like such a faggot that he would come out and call his girlfriend, partner in life, a country music sensation. Name one song she's ever written or sang other than the national anthem. Name one song from this country music sensation. What a total, utter, humongous, giant, purple, infected pussy of a faggot Cash Patel is. He is the faggot of all faggots. He is King Faggot. There is no one who could ever hold a candle to Cash Patel in the realm of competing for faggot status. He is number one faggot of all faggots in all the world. Lindsey Graham bows down and worships to him. The old version of Milo Yiannopoulos bows down and worships to him. All the faggots that have ever been faggots are being number one faggot-sucking faggots as soon as they look at Cash Patel. They just love and adore Cash Patel. Let me ask you something, Cash, you fag. Why is it that InfoWars is still being investigated under a Type 3 assessment since December of 2013? You're the FBI director now. Why is it? Huh? Why is it that nobody can get a hold of you, Cash? So available, so accessible before you became the director of the FBI. Then as soon as you get put into power, the first thing you said is, I'm going to protect these good cops. I'm going to protect these other FBI directors, these other FBI agents, rather. They're so good. Nobody should be shaming these guys. No. The FBI should totally be shamed. You've been violating our rights like Bill Cosby violates a sleeping underage girl. America's been asleep. You've been anxiously waiting, and you've been putting your fingers in our ass and shit while we're asleep. That's what the FBI has been doing to the American people for decades. Decades. And the first thing you say when you get put into office as a director of the FBI is, I'm going to protect these good cops. I'm going to stick up for these good cops, and I'm going to let these brave, heroic Americans do what they do best, which is spy on InfoWars without a warrant for no reason whatsoever under a human intelligence gathering operation for the sake of trying to find dirt so it can be leveraged to get people in a civil suit to bring down freedom of speech and freedom of the press. I'm sorry, Cash, but I fucking hate you, dude. I hate you. I don't want anything bad to happen to you. I just want you out. I want you and Alexis to be country star sensations. You know, can you imagine that? Be the best thing since Robert Plant and Alison Krauss came together and made an album. Cash Patel and Alexis. Cash and Alexis. Just singing your country duets. I want to hear you and Alexis singing Wagon Wheel more than I want to see you on a private jet for any other reason. More than I want to see you going to the CCP. I want to hear you sing Wagon Wheel, Cash. Sing me Wagon Wheel. I'll support you if I hear you sing me Wagon Wheel. I want you to go down Broadway in Nashville, Tennessee with that country star sensation of yours from Belmont University. And I want you to sing Wagon Wheel right now because that's what you were made for, Cash. You were made for Wagon Wheel. And by the way, folks, Ultra Methylene Red, which is probably going to sell out tonight, was made for you. So please go to the AlexJonesStore.com right now and be the reason Alex Jones will always be on the air. Get the Ultra Methylene Red, which is incredible for your focus. It's got anti-aging properties for your brain cells. It super enhances all the effects of methylene blue. Study after study, research after research. One of the studies even showed a 47% increase, or decrease rather, in age-related macular degeneration from one of the ingredients in there. So please go to the AlexJonesStore.com right now. Get Ultra Methylene Red before it sells out and be the reason Alex will always be on the air.
I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug the Irish Sea Moss was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Hmm. All that stopped with the sea moss because it's a thyroid issue, and the sea moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue, yeah, the methylene blue, life changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. Like, it's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together. and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good. I love the greens powder. That I've tried every different type of greens powder out there, and nothing has had as much stuff, amazing stuff packed into it, and it has like a decent flavor to it. So the Optimal Human is like a daily staple.
It's for good,
me.
Right?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. And, okay. And I'm not saying that because just for you guys, but seriously, I've tried so many greens powders over the years, and it really is the best.
And are we paying you, Katie? Did we pay you to call in?
I would love to work for you. I swear, Alex Jones Fisher is on, like, my mantle with all of my family pictures.
That's
like,
amazing.
We love Alex.
Some people call in, this person, you're paying them. But, like, no, but our products really are good. People really like them. It's true.
Well, I accredited him to, like, the life-changing experience I had when I decided to leave California because I didn't want to bash Trump. And I listened to Jones when I found him. And I'm like, I got to get the hell out of here.
Right.
And so I moved back home to Ohio. And 3 months later, I met my husband. I feel like that life-changing event for me was because of listening to all the information that he gives. He's not like predicting the future. He's just giving you the information that's hard to find, where they're telling you what they're going to do.
Yeah. Well, now you have a 3-year-old kid, so your life's going great.
Yes.
I've said it before, but with a lot of these products, like, you really don't know what it's going to do for you, because you might not know that you're lacking a vitamin or lacking a mineral. And it like happens all the time with iodine. Iodine's one of those things where, like, as soon as you start taking it, you're like, oh, I'm not supposed to, and I'm not a doctor, this is not a medical claim, but people experience this. I've heard it from my friends where they're like, I'm not supposed to be tired all the time. I apparently just was lacking iodine. And it's like, you don't know if you're going to feel more energetic, if you're going to sleep better, if you're not going to have chills anymore. It's like people sort of go around thinking that that's the way their body is, but it's like, no, you're missing a key component. You're missing a vitamin, you're missing a mineral, and you don't even realize until you start taking something from the Alex Jones store. So I completely understand that you start taking the Irish sea moss and suddenly something that you thought was just the way your body is. No, turns out you can fix it. You can fix these things. Again, I'm not making medical claims, but you can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thank you for the plug, Katie.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
Out of darkness into light. It's tomorrow's news tonight. It's Chase Geyser.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, I am Chase Geyser, your host this evening for as long as I can possibly take it. Let me just get started with this wonderful clip from Ted Cruz. I'll play it here.
At least for me, I am very proud to be a Christian Zionist. And there are some people who are embraced at the highest level of government who have said there is no one they hate more than Christian Zionists. Well, I'll tell you what, there's no one I hate more than communists and jihadists who want to murder us. And now is a time for choosing. Now is a time for courage. If you sit there and nod adoringly while someone tells you that Winston Churchill was the villain of World War II, If you sit there and nod while someone says there's a very good argument America should have intervened on behalf of Nazi Germany in World War II. If you sit there with someone who says Adolf Hitler was very, very cool and that their mission is to combat and defeat global Jewry, and you say nothing, then you are a coward and you are complicit in that evil.
Well, there's Ted Cruz for you. I guess you're a coward and you're complicit in that evil. Now, of course, he's referring to Nick Fuentes appearing on Tucker Carlson's show. It's all been covered. You've seen all the clips. You've seen all the feedback. There's nothing I could possibly tell you that you don't already know about this conflict going on between the Fuenteses and the Carlsons and the establishment cuckery that is the GOP. I mean, the GOP has become the most faggy of institutions I've ever seen in my entire life. At least the Democrats have the balls to come out with it. At least the Democrats, they're so gay, they throw a parade and they celebrate it. But the GOP, it's like Lindsey Graham. It's like, I'm going to be a fag, but I'm just not going to tell anybody about it. I just don't want anybody in the world to know what my secret persuasion is. I just don't want anybody in the world to know that I find J.D. Vance so attractive. And when Ted Cruz goes on about those Jews, it makes me want to get uncut and cut all over again. I mean, that's Lindsey Graham right there. And look, I don't have a problem with the gayness. It's just the hiding it. I don't care if Lindsey Graham sucks dick. It's just if he's going to be all about it. It's like, stop being a fag. And I don't know. I guess my point of bringing up this clip is because he had this whole like Republicans and Jews conference yesterday, and then everybody and their mother seems to be making some kind of a statement or a comment. That's fine. And I don't want to be the type of guy that goes on and on and on and talks about Israel and the Jews and Israel. And the Jews. That's the reason I'm bringing this up. I'm complaining about it. It shouldn't even be an issue. Why is it that we can't just talk about the fact that people are struggling in the United States of America? Why is it that we can't talk about the fact that I see people every single day on the way to work, whether I live in Austin, Texas or Fayetteville, Arkansas, leaning over, obviously overdosing or engaging in some sort of fentanyl problem? Why is it that Kash Patel has to fly a private jet, allegedly, to the CCP to talk about the fentanyl crisis? Why can't we just nip it in the bud? Why is it that over the course of the last 5 years, there were 30,000 people standing at parade rest from the CCP coming into this country illegally? Why is it that we allowed more people to invade the United States of America than Russians who invaded Ukraine in the last 5 years? Do you realize that we've just come up on the other end of this massive invasion? So it's obviously very irksome when I hear anyone of any political persuasion talk about how much we should care about any other country than our country. I'm not just targeting the Jews here, folks. Or the Israelis here. I don't like hearing about it when it's Ukraine. Or Mike Johnson funding $83 billion to Ukraine on Hitler's birthday last year. I don't like hearing about it when it's Venezuela or Argentina or any of these other countries. I'm not trying to pick on the Israelites here. I wish them the best as long as I don't have to pay for it. As long as I don't have to have the weight of whatever sins they commit with the money that I give them via my forced taxation on my conscience. Do you want to commit a genocide? Fine. I just don't want to fund it. Ukraine wants to defend itself and force all of its own people to go to this war with the average age of the soldiers now being 48 years old because all the young men have died. That's fine. I just don't want to fund it. They want to put up a cemetery in Elkins Park, Pennsylvania that's got the Ukrainian trident on the Iron Cross. It celebrates the SS officers that are buried there from Ukraine. That's fine. I just don't want to fund it because when I fund it, it's my fault. Because we learned from the Nuremberg trials, we learned from the end of World War II, that just following orders is not an adequate enough defense for crimes against humanity. And if I'm paying taxes, because I have to, for all of these atrocities to take place, that seems a lot like just following orders to me. And I don't want to have to answer for that to God. I don't want to have to explain to God why I was just following orders while this genocide took place or while that war took place or while this conflict took place or while this city was blown up or while this Middle Eastern leader was unseated or hanged. I don't want to have to answer for all the sins that I'm just funding. And I understand that our income is just taken from our paycheck. So it's really stolen from us. We don't give it, but if, I mean, I was a small business owner for years and I wrote checks to the state of California and I wrote checks to the federal government of the United States of America. And I feel bad that I did that. Honestly, I'm not trying to encourage anybody to break the law out there. I'm not trying to be ridiculous or obtuse here about this. But that's seriously one of the top five things that bothers me every single day. There might be like one or two big sins that I committed in the past that every once in a while just comes across my dashboard of consciousness like a pang. And then I just, you know, move on because I got to focus on, you know, being better in the future. And then, yeah, one of the five things that crosses my conscience every single day that I'm still struggling with, wrestling with, dealing with is the fact that I'm funding into this organization, which is basically committing all the greatest sins against humanity that have ever been committed, both domestically and overseas. And then when I think about what's happening right now between China and the United States of America with this artificial intelligence arms race, that of course my intuition is to hope that the United States wins, just like I hope that the United States wins when I see them compete in the Olympics. Well, golly, I hope Captain America beats the bad guys. I'm thinking to myself, yeah, the 21st century would look just absolutely atrocious if the CCP is allowed to win this artificial intelligence arms race. I mean, imagine what they'll do. They'll scale that surveillance that they've had domestically and they'll just spread it across the entire continent and eventually across the entire world. They'll be able to surveil us from space and what we were going to do with the Golden Dome, the CCP will do, and they'll do it in its own homogenous way where you have to worship the state or else. But then I think to myself, what if the United States, the government, not America, but the United States, wins this artificial intelligence arms race? Then what am I looking at? I'm thinking about 9/11. I'm thinking about COVID-19. I'm thinking about the crash in 2006 to 2008 in which zero people went to prison despite the fact that thousands of them knew it was going to happen. I'm thinking about everything that happened to Edward Snowden. I'm thinking about JFK's assassination. I'm thinking about the attempts on Donald Trump. I'm thinking about Charlie Kirk's assassination. I'm thinking to myself, holy shit. If the United States wins the artificial intelligence arms race against the CCP, we're in for some massive problems, some very serious problems. A, because obviously our own government doesn't back up or support any of our own rights. I mean, just look at what's happened to Alex Jones. About every other one of the amendments in the Constitution of the United States of America was violated specifically as it pertains to the case against Alex Jones. You look at cruel and unusual punishment. You look at due process. You look at freedom of speech. You look at freedom of the press. You name it. Cruel and unusual punishment. Slavery even. If he's going to have his wages garnished for the rest of his life for the sake of these plaintiffs. Very bizarre. So if we have none of our rights protected right now by the federal government of the United States of America, and we simultaneously have this massive, seemingly bipartisan coalition that just loves the notion of funding anyone except for the people of the United States of America, like taking our money and then funding the interests of whether it's Israel or Ukraine or Taiwan or whatever. And we're about ready to empower that government, that entity, which has taken on a consciousness of its own, with the most powerful weapon of mass destruction that's ever been created in the history of weapons of mass destruction, artificial intelligence. Do we really want to win? I mean, I'd rather have Madagascar win. At least it's been harmless over there. So this is why I get frustrated when I see the Ted Cruzes and others speak at events like RJC, and it's not like me hyper-focused on the Jews. I don't give a damn either way. But, I mean, thinking about all the problems that we really do have, what are your thoughts when you hear something like this from a Mark Levin?
Stalin admirers, Jew haters, American haters, Churchill haters, you're damn right we're going to cancel them and deplatform them. It's called the market system.
All forehead, no foreskin.
They don't have a lifetime job like a bureaucrat who we're going to protect. And if they're your friend, there's something wrong with you. No Hitler admirer, Holocaust denier, platformer should be anybody's friend, as a matter of fact. You don't get to wrap your psychotic, mental, unhinged, Nazi, Klan, jihadist, bullshit around American patriotism. You don't get to claim you're MAGA and America First when you're lining up with the Marxists and the Islamists and Hamas and the terrorists.
Well, there you go. It's Mark Levin. I mean, what do you expect? And he's probably particularly irked because Fuentes came on Tucker Carlson's show and said, I used to listen to Mark Levin every single day. I liked his attitude. I liked how hard he was on the callers. And so maybe a little part of Mark Levin feels like he's responsible for creating that which he hates most. And there's probably some truth to that. Maybe Mark Levin is in part responsible for creating this entire movement he hates most. But all I know is you can't serve two masters. This is a abundantly Christian message. For you'll love one and hate the other. You'll obey one, despise the other. And we've lived for too long in a country, the United States of America, where we've had a government that's served two masters. We've had a United States government which has tried to cater to and humor the interests of the American people, while simultaneously catering to the interests of basically every other nation. Not even one in particular. There's one in particular that comes up, obviously, in the context of the clip I just showed you with Mark Levin. But we have an America that's tried to serve dozens upon dozens of masters in, frankly, a political class that's served itself at the expense of the American people for far too long, but tried to pawn it off or at least act like it's been serving the American people. And as a result of that, this political class obviously despises the American people. We see Mark Levin coming out and saying that we have to censor people now because they platform people that have questioned the Holocaust. I mean, look, I disagree. I think the Holocaust happened. Like, regardless of whether it happened to 6 million people or 600,000 people, I don't know. It was still a Holocaust. It was still people that were killed just because of their immutable characteristic, which was their ethnic identity. It seems like a major crime against humanity to me. No qualms with that. No argument that Hitler was a bad guy there. No argument that maybe it wasn't Anne Frank's fault. Maybe we don't have to go after little Annie just because the bankers might have screwed you over after Versailles. Sorry, Hitler. Maybe you took it a little too far. I'm sorry the Jews didn't buy enough of your watercolors, you one testicle fag. You did put the crumb on the Benz, though. And look, I don't even know at this point in time what point I'm trying to make. I guess fundamentally where I'm at, psychologically where I'm at, in terms of my emotional and psychological health, this is where I'm at. We have arrived at a place in the United States of America where our problems are so astronomical that you basically have to have someone as good, as perfect as Jesus Christ to even figure out how to be able to solve them. Morally as good, as competent, as knowing, as powerful. You basically have to have an American messiah in order to untangle this knot that we have tangled because of our screwed up nature for the course of the last 50, 60, 70 years. Certainly since the establishment of the Federal Reserve Bank. That's number one. Number two, I'm thinking over and over in my head with this fourth turning that everything that's happened in the past is about ready to happen again. And I'm seeing an awful lot of similarities between what's happening in the United States of America right now and what happened in Germany in the 1920s. In fact, I see the 1920s of Germany as the same as the 2020s of the United States of America. And what does that mean? Well, that means we're probably going to lose the election in 2028. We're probably going to run J.D. Vance. There's not going to be enough support for him. Because things are going to be neither bad enough or good enough. He's not going to win. Somebody else is going to come in from the left. There's going to be a massive crash in 2029, just like there was in 1929. And then everybody's really going to go America First. Everybody's really going to go populist. Everybody's really going to go anti-Israel. So remember, whatever minority there is what gets blamed when there's a massive collapse. And it's just always happened to be the Jews because they're always the smallest minority in every single country because of the nature of their culture. Diaspora. And then you're going to see exactly what happened in 1933 in Germany, happened in the United States of America in 2033, and it's going to be blaming the Jews and it's going to be blaming everybody else. And look, there's going to be a lot of things that get better. There's going to be a lot of things that get worse, too. They're going to come after the Jews very explicitly. I don't think there's going to be another Holocaust. But there's going to be no mercy for any of these minorities. They're going to get everybody out of this country for dual citizenship. They're going to pass laws to make it illegal to hold any sort of position of influence. If you have dual citizenship or if you're born in another country, you can't teach in schools anymore. You can't be involved in the government anymore. You can't be a contractor for the government anymore. I mean, they're going to go through and they're going to do hardcore America First stuff. And it's going to require some massive crash in 2029 in order for it to happen. And it's going to be exactly what we saw happen in Germany in 1933. I am 95% sure that we are going to see almost a mirror image of the 1920s and 1930s Germany in the United States of America. I don't think it's necessarily going to pan out into some epic world war. I think we'll probably turn to more isolationism than expansionism because we have completely different variables and incentives and motives applying pressure to our country, but it's looking a hell of a lot similar to me. I mean, look, I went through, I read all of Hitler's speeches from 1922 through 1935. They started getting really boring when the war started. It was all about weapons and, you know, hoorah. I read Hitler's speeches from 1922 to 1930. This was a couple years ago, a few years ago, 2020, 2021. And I rewrote every single one of them and I replaced all mention of Jew with leftist or Democrat and all mention of Germany with America. And I got that book published. And it made perfect sense. Because my theory then was everything we're going through right now is exactly what Germany was going through in the 1920s. And my biggest fear, my biggest concern, is not that we will win, not that America First will win. I hope and I believe that we will win, and I believe that America First will win. But my biggest concern is, what are we going to do when we have all that power? Are we going to do the same faggy Hugo Boss bullshit that Hitler did? Are we going to do the same censorship that we've been fighting against that Mark Levin is calling through it for and his neo-fascist mentality right there? You realize that what you just saw from that Mark Levin clip was basically cut and dry textbook neo-fascism, right? I mean, you realize that the guy that hates the Nazis sounds the most like a fascist, right? We're not going to forgive anybody who platforms anyone who denies the Holocaust. We're going to cancel everybody who doesn't believe in supporting Israel. And everybody knows that Israel First is the only way to be America First. I mean, this is so fascist. I can't even believe it. I can't even believe that Mark Levin doesn't see it for himself after all the brilliant books he's read. And by the way, I've got a book signing coming up in Chicago. Make sure you be there. After all the books he's come out with, this guy doesn't even realize that he sounds like a fascist. And let me tell you something. I can tell you, Mark Levin sounds exactly like a fascist. And the reason I know is because I actually read all of Hitler's speeches. Everybody thinks that the way to understand Adolf Hitler is to read Mein Kampf. First of all, Mein Kampf is just a mess. It's trash. It's narcissistic, self-indulgence garbage. You want to understand Hitler, you don't read Mein Kampf, you read his speeches, because his speeches are what worked on the German people. So you want to understand the zeitgeist of the time, you have to read the speeches, not the narcissistic, self-aggrandizing BS that he wrote while he was in the can. And when you read his speeches, you understand the fascism. You understand why it worked, why it was happening, what the problems were. And here's the thing that's crazy. The fascists, they were right about almost all the problems. They were just wrong about all the solutions. They were right about the banking system being totally corrupt and screwed up. And they were right about the youth of the nation being totally sabotaged and taken advantage of. And they were right about the influence of Bolshevism on the culture and how communism was going to be the end of Germany and its German identity. And they were right about nationalism and how there was this internationalism that was coming in and just eroding everything in the German culture. But then they decide to offer a solution where we're going to come in as the government and we're going to censor everybody that we disagree with and we're going to ban all other political parties and we're going to make sure that anybody who says anything to criticize the current form of government is subject to execution. We're also going to get involved in every war we could possibly imagine and ensure that our entire economy is based off of armament. We're not going to allow anybody to borrow money on interest because, after all, lending money on interest is a Jewish thing. But the banks can lend us, the government, as much money as we want on interest because we need that in order to protect our national identity in this war that we caused. I mean, it was just madness. And they were so close. They were so close to seriously, genuinely defeating communism and solving all the problems that Germany faced. But they gave way to hatred. They gave way to obtuseness. And they jumped to conclusions way too fast, and they were way too arrogant, and they got rocked. As much as Hitler loved Germany, I believe he did love Germany. He is single-handedly responsible for the fact that Berlin got shelled to nothingness. He's responsible for the total demise and suffering of Germany for decades to come as it was split between the communies and the West. Many of the problems that they face today, it was his fault because he took it too far. Point is, we're going to win just like the Nazis won in the late 20s and in the early 30s. And we have to decide whether we're going to become fascist, whether we're going to somehow transcend fascism. We're going to be some kind of neo-Americanism, something that hasn't been seen before. The globalists, they merged fascism with communism and they made it globalism. We have to somehow figure out how to merge populism, nationalism, and capitalism with something else almost indescribable. We have to decide as a nation how we become an adult. Right now, we're like 16 years old. We got some ideas about who we want to be. Maybe we got a girlfriend who's a bad influence. But there's still hope yet that we could snap out of it. And hopefully by the time we're 18, we've got the balls to know what it means to be American, to claim our own identity. Folks, we're coming up on another break. More news on the other side. Please go to the AliceJonesStore.com right now if you haven't already. Get the Ultra Methylene Red. I think it's going to sell out tonight if it hasn't sold out already. Ultra Methylene Red is sour strawberry, focus and clarity. This is meant to be a methylene blue super enhancer, but it does work as a standalone product. It is incredible for things like your memory, your focus. It's got anti-aging properties, specifically as it pertains to cognitive aging. It's a great de-stressor for the oxidative stress that we feel in our brain as we age. And it's got all sorts of other benefits. I mean, it's got B6 in it, B12 in it, all the best versions, highest quality of all these ingredients, plus many other ingredients with studies to back all the incredible effects: migraine prevention, homocysteine regulation, antioxidant and cellular protection, and it goes on and on and on and on and on. This has been the most powerful substance that I've ever taken since the methylene blue came out. I take them both together every single day. Please go to the AlexJonesStore.com right now, get Ultra Methylene Red, and be the reason we will always be on the air.
Here it is, ladies and gentlemen. And it's available right now exclusively, limited first run. A little more comes in a month, but they got a limited run. Chase, tell us about what is in Ultra Methylene Red.
Well, I got to tell you, I've never been prouder of a product launch than I am of this. I really had a heavy hand in this.
And so we put this together as both a methylene blue super enhancer, especially with the cognitive focus benefits, the mitochondria empowerment, and the brain dropping off an extra electron for the brain cells. But it's also an incredible standalone product. I mean, just to give you an example, Alex, one of our best sellers when we were still operating the InfoWars store was Ultra 12. And this has everything that Ultra 12 had in it. 206,000% your daily value of vitamin B12 through methylcobalamin. It's even got the CoQ10 in it, of course, which is huge. But this is the most impressive compilation of ingredients that I've ever seen in a supplement. I'm very proud that we launched it. I'm very proud that it's our second tincture on the market. And when I'm looking through these studies, I mean, here are the benefits that are listed: migraine prevention, cardiovascular help, cellular protection. We've got neurotransmitter synthesis and mood helps people with depression, according to these studies that I've looked at here. Even energy and fatigue reduction, more cardio production, cognitive support, mood cognition, endothelial function. I mean, it goes on and on. Nerve regeneration, cognitive and mood support.
Everything we sell is the most insanely powerful, best thing we can come up with, because this is what we take. So that's why everybody just raves and raves and raves about the products at thealexjonesstore.com.
In times uncertain of what the future holds, when cameras see everything and silence speaks louder than words, you'll need more than just awareness. You'll need focus. You'll need power. Fuel your mind. Energize your body. Stay sharp in the age of control with Methylene Blue from thealexjonesstore.com. Because no matter how advanced the system becomes, your energy is your freedom.
Kudnik arm of the Israel lobby is, well, they tried to get Tucker kicked out of the Heritage Foundation. That was a huge disaster for them. Everybody came out to support Josh Hammer, one of their leading writers. You know, he needs to be dealt with like a fox in a hen house. He needs to be neutralized. He's the new Hitler. He's going to get us all killed. You're trying to brand Tucker Carlson as Hitler. All because you attack him and he stands up for himself. Really stupid move. But it's not stupid. It's done from a very sick place. And Tucker said this 8 months ago when I was on his show in Florida. He said he's really worried about all the anti-Semitism ramping up because he believes there's going to be terror attacks or false flags on synagogues that'll be used to repeal the First Amendment. It's not going to work. People are pissed off. And it's only getting more intense, and it leads to a very, very destructive place. Here is a clip of J.D. Vance, and again, there were a lot of other clips. Everywhere he goes, people bring up Israel, and then you got his response, not bowing down, not attacking Israel, very measured, reasonable response. This is my policy. This is where I see Israel. Here's J.D. Vance.
Thank you for the opportunity to speak. I'm a Christian man, and I'm just confused why that there's this notion that we might have owe Israel something, or that they're our greatest ally, or that we have to support this multi-hundred-billion-dollar foreign aid package to Israel to cover this, to quote Charlie Kirk, ethnic cleansing in Gaza. I'm just confused why this idea has come around, considering the fact that not only does their religion not agree with ours, but also openly supports the prosecution of ours.
Yeah, so let's say a few things about this. First of all, when the President of the United States says America first, that means that he pursues the interests of Americans first. That is our entire foreign policy. And that doesn't mean that you're not going to have alliances, that you're not going to work with other countries from time to time, and that is what the president believes, is that Israel, sometimes they have similar interests to the United States and we're going to work with them in that case. Sometimes they don't have similar interests to the United States. And this example, the most recent Gaza peace plan that all of us have been working on very hard for the past few weeks, the president of the United States could only get that peace deal done by actually being willing to apply leverage to the state of Israel. So when people say that Israel is somehow manipulating or controlling the president of the United States, they're not controlling this president of the United States, which is one of the reasons why we'd be able to have some of the success that we've had in the Middle East. Now, you ask about, you know, sort of Jews disagreeing with Christians on certain religious ideas. Yeah, absolutely. It's one of the realities is that Jews do not believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Obviously, Christians do believe that. There are some significant theological disagreements between Christians and Jews. My attitude is, let's have those conversations. Let's have those disagreements when we have them. But if there are shared areas of interest, we ought to be willing to do that too. For example, one thing I really care about is the preservation of the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem. Christians believe that that is the site where Jesus Christ was crucified, and also that his tomb is right there as well. My attitude is, if we can work with our friends in Israel to make sure that Christians have safe access to that site, that's an obvious area of common interest. I am fine with that. What I'm not okay with is any country...
Oh, sorry, back it up. I wanted to finish it. Go ahead and play the end. Go ahead, I didn't mean to interrupt.
If we can work with our friends in Israel to make sure that Christians have safe access to that site, that's an obvious area of common interest. I am fine with that. What I'm not okay with is any country coming before the interests of American citizens, and it is important for all of us assuming we're American citizens, to put the interest of our own country first. That's what we're going to do. That's what we try to do every single day, I promise you. Thank you.
And listen to the applause.
Hey, Chase, good to talk to you again. I wanted to do a quick plug on the methylene blue, on the long-term effects that it had on me. Back in 2020, I got COVID. My brother and my dad both have eczema. After I got COVID, it must have, it opened that dormant cell in my body or whatever. So I've been dealing with eczema ever since 2020. And the long-term effects of the methylene blue, 99% gone.
That's absolutely incredible. I'm so happy. Have your relatives tried it too to see the same effect?
I have been trying to get my brother to take it and he's skeptical, but I'll tell you what, I got 4 bottles sitting on my table. I think I'm just going to give him one. And I think if I just give it to him, I think he'll eventually try it.
Yeah, that's a good move.
Through the lies and disinformation. It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the InfoWar.
We are the number one hated and attacked media organization in the world by every evil, disgusting, sickening organization on the face of the planet. And I'm going to say it. If you're going to go as big as you can. That's why John Hancock literally saw people signing their names, little bitty, and people he knew signing them. You really couldn't tell who they were. And I get it. Every person signing that was signing their potential death warrant. He got up there and went, boom. And he said, if I'm going to have the king coming after me, I want him to come after me, number one.
That's a pretty large signature, Johnny.
Yeah, and I'm going to risk my life fighting tyranny. Anybody that's ever been in fights, you're not looking for fights, but you've been in a few. You learn, you hesitate when somebody's trying to beat the hell out of you. You're going to get your ass kicked. But you just decide to beat the living hell out of them and stop worrying about who's winning. And you're going to win almost every time unless you're fighting Mike Tyson. I know there's people will knock you upside the head really hard and like sit back and look at what it did. Or somebody will hit you in the side of the head with a baseball bat and they'll kind of sit back and watch and see what it did. I'm like a Terminator. You're about to find out.
I'll shove that bat up your ass and turn you into a popsicle.
So that's what's going on here. And I love it because we're drawing their fire. We've exposed them. We've drawn them out of their rat holes to do all of this. The Soros scum and the Soros DA and just all of them. They're filth. They're disgusting tyrants. Just like judges in Nazi Germany or Soviet Russia. They're disgusting. And it's like we're in the dark and they got night vision. We're in a pitch black arena with no light and they've got their illuminators on and they can see us and we can't see them. Well, guess what? I walked over with my listeners collectively and pulled the switch and turned the lights on.
The real war's here with the globalists and Soros and Obama and the New World Order and BlackRock. They've declared war on us and we accept the challenge. We're taking the country back.
Their attacks on Trump, their lawfare, all the criminal activity. How'd that work out for them? They were dumb enough to brag. Remember everywhere. It'll be over for Trump when this mugshot comes out in Georgia. We're finally getting it. Every channel, remember? It's the end, the mugshot, the mugshot, the mugshot. And then Trump nails it with a beyond Clint Eastwood, badass American Eagle gaze of total defiance that everybody looks at. And knows deep down, that's the alpha male, that's the badass, that's the defiant real person. You can't fake that look. And then when they shot him, you got even more of that look, except the lips pulled down and the teeth bared and the eyes bugging out. Yes, yes, we get to see who's really who at times like this, don't we? And now the bad guys are going to find out who's really who, aren't you? Because the veneer of civilization is burning off. And all the posers and all the thugs and all the bullies who thought they had this country on its knees and cowed are now just beginning to understand that they have awoken the terrible giant. respect Kyle Serafin. You know, he's really the most effective and I would say accurate FBI whistleblower in U.S. history. And that says a lot. And so many of the horrible projects of Obama and Biden that we know about, targeting Christians, Catholics, parents and school boards, but just so many others, were this guy. And, you know, he got fired over it, didn't try to get his job back. Then he's been really trying to get other great whistleblowers reinstated that do want to be reinstated. They've been treated like absolute crap. These are people that were championed by Bongino, championed by Patel. So when they got appointed and went through confirmation in the last 8 months, he started getting concerned. And he started mildly criticizing, because I was there interviewing him and other whistleblowers. And they attacked him. And so he doesn't, in my opinion, have some hard on for them or a beef for them. And I don't either. I need Trump to succeed. God, I want him to be heroes. Please, I'm looking for a hero here, man. I'm under attack by the old Democrat DOJ and leftovers are still after me. I mean, I really need this lifeboat I'm in to work and not be leaking, please. And so there's so much to cover here, but here's where I'm going with this. If we don't reform the DOJ, people say, well, I'll just abolish it all out or abolish FBI, whatever. If we can't even get reform, we're not getting that. Then we have no hope. And so there's so many angles, so many things to hit here, but he is hitting 1,000 right now. And you have Patel literally running scared. You have him, his girlfriend, suing Kyle Serafin, when the whole internet was asking, is he an Israeli agent? Because everybody's obsessed with Israel. He just said, well, okay, we should look at that. So they sued him over that, which I saw what he said. I think he has a total right to say it. And again, that's the Streisand effect. I don't think she's probably an Israeli agent. I've even talked to Kyle off air and on. He's like, we don't know. It was like a little aside. But now you brought 10 times more attention to this, 100 times. It's crazy. It's like AIPAC people in Congress saying, Trump, literally Tucker Carlson is the new Hitler Youth. And he is the new threat. He is Hitler. He's going to kill us. I mean, I just played it. Crazy town. So I wanted to get Kyle on for the balance of the hour. He's, you know, been tracking the jet and Patel taking it to all these private events, which Patel criticized the other FBI directors for reasonably. So if you do that, then it's okay to criticize it. And you know, it's the kind of story, too, that I know got big traction with the White House. They were upset about it, according to your sources. And it's the kind of thing people get in trouble for. They will get in trouble for the real stuff. And by real, I want to first cover this with you, Kyle. And that is what I was told back in like the 17th or 18th of September. Charlie Kirk had been dead for 6-7 days. And I was talking to someone that was in the cabinet meeting, not one of the televised ones, not one of the press release ones, in the meeting. And then I talked to somebody else that I knew was at the White House. They said, no, that happened. And these are sources that have never been wrong. And I said, why aren't you doing it? Well, it's too dangerous. You want it, right? And I said, yeah. Patel was screaming at Tulsi Gabbard and others, saying, this is my investigation. You're not allowed to look at this. I don't want you involved in any of this. In fact, I don't want you involved in intelligence. Now, remember, this is a guy that said the FBI is too much in intelligence. Get rid of the FBI building that's turned into an intelligence building, the Hoover building, and turn it into a museum. So this is like Superman joining Lex Luthor. The Office of National Intelligence set up after 9/11, the National Threat Fusion Center, and you've worked there and done this. You were a counterterrorism guy in the FBI, so you can speak to it. Not just Air Force, Fed, all the rest of it. So you get all the factoids exactly right. I just know the general knowledge. Correct me if I'm wrong. But it's their job to do this. And they said, we don't want you looking at accomplices domestically. And you have six trannies saying you'll be dead tomorrow, celebrating that day. In the area we know he's associated with. And I'm ready to take the official story. They were saying kill Kirk and they were celebrating when he died. I mean, I'm like, okay, people are mad at me and buying the official story. And I talked to you and you're a smart guy. I respect you. Said, yeah, no, I see it adds up overall, blah, blah, blah. We can get into that. But then he does that. But then I was told, but also no looking at any foreign support. And that could even mean Soros groups out of the country, you know, money back, which we know they do. So then it comes out last week, exactly what I said. We played the clips where I said it. When I said it, it's like, okay, yeah, okay, sure. Never hit the news. The audience heard it. Nobody else. Nobody picked it up. That I'm like, hey, this is what I was told. I didn't make it up. Do I ever, folks? No. I mean, so thousands of things I've broken, hundreds of top things. So the point is that happened. And so I want to hit that first for the jet and all the rest of it and what's going on. What I'm told is Trump is done with Patel for months. The body language is public. Can't stand him. I wanted Patel to succeed. When Trump brought in all these new people, you're going to have some people that are lazy or compromised or dumb or whatever they are. What you told me earlier about Pam Bondi from you'd heard that she basically is lazy and just wants to be on TV. I've confirmed that from a whole bunch of sources. So we got a problem here. That's quite the intro. You're on X, KyleSerafinShow.com. Everybody should follow you there. We'll put the URLs on screen for folks. But let's just start, if you can, with what I just said, because I have my sources, but I'm not a former counterterrorism FBI agent. But when you saw the New York Times and all this, FBI opposes push for Gabbard to take lead on counterintelligence. Well, from what I was told, you actually read it. No, they were just mad they were investigating, period. I mean, wouldn't he want these agencies that have access to all this stuff? You know, the NSA and everybody to do that? This is the boss of that by Congress created to do it. And he's all pissed off at the National Threat Fusion Center, who's, I mean, he literally wants to turn the headlights off driving through the woods in the middle of the night. So to me, this is the big one. Not wanting to blind our legal intelligence that's created by Congress for violent terror events. To me, this is why he should be in deep trouble. The jet and stuff, you know, important, and we'll get to that. Kyle Serafin, am I wrong? What do you make of this? This is a big deal to me.
So people should understand that the United States intelligence community, it's known as the USIC or USIC, it has 17 different agencies in it. The FBI is just one of those. And the FBI's primary interest should be in counterterrorism where it's criminal. And then also counterintelligence where it's of a criminal nature. When it comes to just straight up collecting domestically or overseas, we have agencies that do that. And that's what they are designed to do. Now, as you said, Kash Patel initially, when he was, you know, sort of campaigning to have this job, he's going out on Glenn Beck's show. He's going out on every podcast he can get on. And he's saying the intel component is the problem with the FBI. How can we get rid of them? How can we send them off? They answer to ODNI, the Office of the Director of National Intelligence. And why don't we just send them back to work there? And that was actually a really great idea. I think that would actually be good for the FBI because that is the group of people that slant harder to the left and are more interested in government activism, let's call it, as opposed to just sort of constitutional libertarian principles.
And let's be clear, you were talking to Patel and others at that time and Bongino, and they were praising you and getting ideas from you. So it's not like you were after him from the beginning. I'm sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
No, 100%. I was one of the last phone calls he had before he went into his confirmation hearing. I heard him say the things that I said. One of the things I pointed out to Cash that he actually said in his hearing is that somewhere between September 3rd and September 7th of 2020, the FBI actually reprioritized its mission statement, and it dropped the number one, which was rigid obedience to the Constitution of the United States, to number 7. And it was behind things like, you know, diversity and some other nonsense. And so they lost ground as a constitutionally based organization. The FBI did while I was there. I watched it happen. My first whistleblower activity was in 2017. I actually thought we were breaking and violating federal law in the counterintelligence division, which is where I started. That's what it looked like to me because they were doing essentially a spying on Americans using what's called reverse targeting. And that's a FISA. That's a whole other show we could do another day. I've talked about it at length. And, you know, if you guys are interested, check out the podcast. That's fine. The big thing that I'm seeing here, you have Tulsi Gabbard, who coordinates all of these 17 different intelligence agencies. They all have their own heads. They all have their own chiefs, et cetera. There's always somebody at the top. And so all of these different little animals do different things. Some are doing human collection. They do HUMINT. Some are doing signals intelligence collection. Some are doing GEINT or GEOINT. So they're doing like maps and reconnaissance and satellites. Everybody's got a special kind of focus. And why would you not want to use all of the capabilities you had? The first thing that I heard out
of
the Charlie Kirk investigation.
Right, that it's like driving through a country road, dirt roads with your lights off at night?
Yeah. So look, when you're driving through the road, you've got a couple of different senses at play. You've got your ears. If you were to put on some earphones, you would hear less things, so you wouldn't be able to tell what's going on outside. You've got your eyes, right? You've got your sense of feel on the road as you're holding onto the wheel. So if you want to go hands-free, eyes closed, ears plugged, then you can do that. You're probably going to run into a fence post, and you're going to end up in the middle of a field or dead. That's exactly right. Why would you not want all of your capabilities? And the earliest things that we started hearing about the Charlie Kirk investigation, and I don't want to get into whether or not it was the right rifle or whether or not they got the right guy, because at the end of the day, none of us can substantiate that because we're not doing the criminal investigation. They didn't release it to us. Even his probable cause hearing hasn't even happened in front of the court yet. So they've kicked that down. They said the evidence is so voluminous that his defense attorneys can't even make a claim on whether or not they arrested the right guy. So put that aside for a minute. Just hold it in abeyance. I'm willing to revisit that at another time. But what we do know is that
the earliest
shattering...
But for the sake of understanding, Patel wants legal, lawful stuff blinded. That is bad. It's bare minimum. It's a power grab. And it's the opposite of what he said he would do.
The broader question was there a broader conspiracy? That's what a lot of people are asking. So the original questions, was it Israel and so on? That was the big question that people were asking. What other countries may have been involved or would have had equities that were interested in? The question is, in my mind, did people from outside the United States with a vested interest go in and motivate this lone actor so he's not a lone actor? And by the way, we had the same questions about people like Thomas Crooks. We had the same questions about people like Ryan Routh. This is the question. Were these people just acting because they got a bug up their ass randomly and they thought, well, this is a great idea that I have and I'm not going to tell anybody? Or were they inspired and encouraged, and were they aided and abetted by others? And so the question immediately went to this Discord server where apparently he was active as a gamer. And the thing that I'm going to tie this to, and I want people to just follow me along, there's a couple of stories that have come out. Number one, he didn't want to deal with Tulsi Gabbard, Joe Kent, etc. Those folks were interested in trying to figure out the overseas connections. Now, Tulsi Gabbard oversees things like CIA and NSA and so on.
Well, let's be clear. According to my sources, he was screaming at them. So he was really, what are you scared of? What do you not want looked at? And again, we know six trannies said he'll be dead tomorrow and then celebrated it. So obviously, unless these people are all Nostradamus, go ahead.
Well, you guys have been flashing the article about Joe Kent. So I think we should zoom back out and think what else was going on in the context during this time frame that was really radical and has not gotten that much play. And one of the biggest stories, and this is the one that I showed your folks from The Blaze, my friend Steve Baker. So, you know, full disclosure, Steve and I are friends and I talk to him off record and on record about things that he's working on. One of the stories that they covered down on was these sim farms, which had hundreds of thousands of servers and hundreds of thousands of sim cards that were online in the United States that had the capabilities of doing cyber scams, of doing all kinds of sort of like theft of people's identity. They were doing romance scandals and so on. They were doing what they call like pig fattening, where they would basically talk somebody up and get them to send them money. So they're self-funded. But all of these are running AI profiles across a wide swath of Reddit, on Facebook. And if you don't have to pay money to be part of the different platforms, then all of these social media platforms have a high percentage of Chinese run AI bots that are incredibly sophisticated and can get past any of this sort of CAPTA and sort of verification that's supposed to, you know, prove you're a human kind of bit. And these things have multiple different personality capabilities. They have long-term, they have infinite patience, and they're running on these supercomputers coming out of China. So they have the ability to impersonate people. For whatever reason, we don't know. They could be getting money. They could be radicalizing folks. And so Baker and The Blaze ran this story, and you guys have like the snippet of it. I encourage people to read it. The long and short of it is that ODNI is very, very concerned, and it's been mostly focused over on the other intel side. So not the FBI, but the DHS side of the house. You had Homeland Security investigations take down these individual sites. And the FBI has been incredibly butthurt about not being included in these raids and not being able to take the lead. I can tell you, I worked counterintelligence. The counterintelligence takedown of a bunch of sim farms run by the Chinese government in the United States should be an FBI priority. And they were not invited
in. Okay, so let's just slow down because you're an expert. So you're talking over some people's heads because I'm barely following you and I'm somewhat informed. And we talked off air about this and we're going to go to the answer to this. Your concern, Patel, is compromised not by Israel, which you're being sued by, which you didn't say about his girlfriend. You're more worried about China. And we know they're the main elephant in the room that's infiltrated us. Compared to everybody else, I'd say they're like 50% of it. Compared to everybody else, the other 50. I mean, nobody knows the exact number, but it's the big gorilla on our back. And that's a huge thing you're saying. I totally respect you. So we'll unpack that after the break. But just so people understand this, because when I read these articles, and I was just told by two sources, you know, the basics. Exactly. He doesn't just not want her looking at foreign involvement in Kirk. And he also said no accomplices, you know, domestically. which is a cover-up. Doesn't mean there's something he's covering up, but he's trying to cover something up. He wants it shut down. But he doesn't want them taking the lead on domestic stuff, even though they were set up to fuse all this together and then give it to the FBI. And you have Trump, who ordered Gabbard 2 or 3 days after, said, I want all accomplices, foreign and domestic, looked at. You can pull the article up. So she's also following, very dutifully, by the way, the orders of the president. Wow, how original is that? So to me, this is the scandal of scandals. We got the other ones. We'll get to them. But we'll cover the China thing, which is huge right after the break. But, Kyle, I mean, this is Kash Patel doing a 180 and now trying to say the FBI is now the domestic CIA or something, or the domestic NSA. I mean, this is a power. This is the story that he's saying.
Yeah, it's a power grab.
I don't want to be. What he's saying is, I don't want to be looked at. Sorry, go ahead.
A lot of people that work in government will be familiar with this. There's this fiefdom attitude that if you run some little area that you want to hold on to it and you don't want anyone else touching it. And so the sort of joke is in Washington DC is that no one ever got promoted to a higher position by shrinking the size of their department. And you can kind of, you know, attest to seeing that over the years. So the more you can grow, the more that you can add responsibilities and sort of make yourself indispensable to leadership above you, then the better off you are.
That's a law of bureaucracy. It's not just a law.
That is exactly right. Exactly correct. And so you've got Patel in there fighting for his piece of turf, which is the counterintelligence mission, the counterterrorism mission, to the point where he's actually going to impact the outcomes that we should be wanting, which is that we've got people like Tulsi Gabbard, and everything I hear says that she's spot on. I've got some really favorable reviews of Joe Kent as well at the Terror Screening Center, which they changed the name a little bit. But everything that these guys are doing, guys and gals, they're attempting to complete the mission. As you said, Donald Trump's mission was go out there and find out anybody involved. And for this to keep coming out, that we're going to have pushback and an FBI director that's basically throwing a temper tantrum. It actually segues really well later into the jet story that we're talking about, because the guy is acting in what looks like a really emotional way. He's simply out there saying, this is my toy. You can't play with it. Get off my playground. And then bullying people out
when
to the point where you got J.D. Vance out there.
All these tools to protect the country, and then he'd be the real hero.
That's right. And to find out that we've got J.D. Vance in there, like sort of, you know, playing referee between what should be co-equal partners that are trying to get to the answer and finding out what's the best answer here. It doesn't matter who brings the solution to daddy. The question should be, do we have a problem and can we solve it? Do we have the resources to do it? Whoever gets credit.
And that's a whole other issue without giving away too much. J.D. Vance behind the scenes is literally like the referee. He's working, I'm told, like 15 hours a day, and it's mainly refereeing, stopping the fighting. But he's trying to get good stuff done. From what I've been told by a lot of sources, J.D. Vance, well, I'm going to stop there. It's just the point is, he's a good guy. I think that's another reason we see these campaigns, even from the right wing, against him, because the bad actors know Vance is actually trying. And the thing is, he's not perfect, but he's learning very quickly.
He seems really sharp. I like the messaging he has. He always seems like the balance. You know, Trump is kind of braggadocious and loud, and he's Trump, so he does what Donald Trump does. What you see in J.D. Vance is not someone who's trying to imitate or be like a micro mini-me Donald Trump. What I see in Kash Patel is someone that's trying to use the same things that he sees his boss doing, except he doesn't have the charisma. He doesn't have the decades of being a billionaire and all the things that go along with it. So he's like this sort of knockoff version, and it doesn't work because you're not the boss.
Exactly.
And if you're not going to be the boss,
Vance,
you can't act like it.
They have to make J.D. Vance, this is confirmed, from they have to make him do PR. He's literally in there working. That is impressive.
He seems like a really, like I said, he seems like a really serious guy that shows up to do real work. And he's also really balanced. And it's nice to see people that are balanced, that want to get the work done. You know, he seems like a peacemaker in a lot of ways. So he is a good referee, but you shouldn't have to referee people in your own cabinet or sub cabinets when they're just going out on a mission that should be in the interest of the American people. It's like you all swore an oath. It's the same oath. So just do the job. Stop fighting with each other over territory or fiefdoms.
Okay, so in fairness, you trumped me with that. I was like, the big issue is him trying to blind our intelligence. You're like, no, it's that he might be compromised by China. So let's, and then look into the jet, which I get. It's always the little stuff brings him down, but Kash Patel needs to go. We'll be right back. Stay with us. I have said thousands of times, and I have said this hundreds of times to Trump personally, sometimes 5-6 times when I'm talking to him. Please stop saying it's on accident. Please stop saying they're incompetent. We can send you all the documents. It's on purpose. Here's who runs it. Here's who does it. Now, that was 8-9 years ago, and off and on throughout that. Now he's got all his advisors, or most of them, and all the evidence, and you hear him more and more saying, the Democrats are kamikazes. It's all on purpose. They hate America. They're Satanists. They want to bring us down. It's all premeditated. Yes, 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 because it's the truth. And when you tell the public, oh, they're idiots. Oh, they don't know what they're doing. Oh, they're so incompetent. Yeah, their constituents are, but not the people running it. It's the exact same leftist New World Order, BlackRock, UNWEF program all over the frickin' world. It is a premeditated evil attack in their own damn words. They are villains. It's not like, oh, they're just misguided fools. No, this is on purpose, people. That's what the Great Reset is. They're doing it on purpose. It's on purpose. On purpose. On purpose. On purpose. On purpose. So, this is what they do. They're scum. The opposite of competence. The opposite of trying to deliver success and excellence. Because they want to demoralize you and break your will. Remember how Gavin Newsom went, yeah, we can clean up San Francisco and L.A. anytime we want, but we only did it for Xi Jinping. He just went, ha, 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 ha. And as soon as he's gone, we're going to have everybody crap everywhere and murder and kill and zombie and needles everywhere. You remember? You want to see the clip?
I know folks say, oh, they're just cleaning up this place because all those fancy leaders are coming into town. That's true, because it's true.
Because they love rubbing it in. Well, of course now San Francisco's had crime growing out 98% in the last month, and it's totally clean. Yeah, we could have done it all along. But we ain't doing it for you, you dumb sacks of garbage. If the globalists are successful and we're in a giant collapse depression and you leftists are starving to death later, just remember you and your bosses did this. We're going back to feudalism, which is the most common political system in history, where the elites all over the world, whether it was in Africa or Asia or Europe or Mesoamerica, they kept people starving and under control and super poor so that they could never move out of that lower slave class. And America has been about getting rid of that. Doesn't mean we've been perfect, but damn it, we've done the best job. And they want to flush that down the toilet. Ooh, ah! And they're close to crashing the whole thing. And it's going to crash the whole world economy with 9 billion people, and all the actuaries are clear. War, carnage. I mean, it's just going to be hell, whole world. And the globalists said they're engineering it, and they believe they'll bring in their world government through that. But a lot of experts went, no, actually, you're all going to get destroyed, too. That's why a lot of elites said, pull back, it's too crazy, don't do it. Exactly. Even if you're evil and agree with the plan, it won't work. It's over. Disengage it now. It may already be too late. Trump's trying to save us, but you won't get out of the way.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
Texas, broadcasting worldwide. It's Alex Jones.
If you just joined us, I've been studying this over 35 years, and I'm kind of a general expert in a whole bunch of stuff, but not really an expert in anything. And so I know Kyle knows what he's talking about. I know his track record is incredible. So when I was stopping him, he was saying such huge things because I was barely understanding it, even though I'd been having conversations with him yesterday when he gave me even more information. And I'm just not putting the audience down. some of you that have probably been counterterrorism people, the FBI or at the NSA, you're understanding it all, but you're a very small percentage of the audience, okay? So I'm like, whoa. So maybe we should like a 2-hour commercial-free podcast soon or something, because when he described the server farms and how the FBI didn't find it and how it was another agency and how Patel's pissed about that, I mean, what does that tell you? Secret Chinese, you know, server farms doing all this dirty stuff. This is real national security stuff. And then he sent me all the stuff where it was Patel making a big deal about Ray and the private jet for private stuff. And then now he's attacking and suing our guest because, you know, he's daring bringing all this up. That's what it's really all about. So it's important. It's very important. But I also don't want to miss the forest for the trees. Yeah, we got Capone for tax evasion, not for murdering probably thousands of people, at least hundreds. I say Patel is just an analogy. But to me, blinding the intelligence operation, saying don't look at any of it, not just Kirk, that is gigantic. But then looking right at China, and then you can back into the server farms. You sent me the articles and things and kind of repeat what you told me, get into the jet, all of it. I'm going to try to shut up now and give you the floor of the time we have left. Kyle Serafin, top FBI whistleblower, go ahead.
Alex, would you mind playing we have a clip that I sent you guys of Dan Bongino on Fox and Friends. This was about May-ish or something like that. And this, the clip actually, it indicates that I'm a problem. And all I'm trying to do is say that there's a serious job here and we're going to get into all the elements of what they are, but I'm not the problem for the FBI. I'm just one guy. I'd live up the road from you. Like, I'm just outside of Austin, Texas, and I live in a rental house with my kids and I'm a dad. And if I'm the problem that the FBI is dealing with and they're not dealing with Chinese server farms that are faking, you know, profiles across the country and can take down our 911 system, we're really screwed. If Kyle Serafin is something that is, you know, in the heart and the mind of the FBI director and the deputy director, I don't know if you guys play this. I don't know that he's talking about me, but he always is weird about naming me because I think he knows how bad it looks.
I don't know. He actually sued you. He's obviously talking about you. So, yeah, they're talking about you, Kyle. Come on. So the point is, they go, as soon as the confirmation hearing happens, he stops talking to you. All this happens. And I've seen these Bongino clips. I don't know this one you're about to play, but, I mean, literally, you're the scum of the earth. Months before, you're the biggest hero ever. Why are they even focused on you? If you don't matter, exactly, why do they, it's in Macbeth, they say, why do you protest so much? Here it is.
The place has taken a reputational hit. There is zero question about it. There were a lot of bad actors. One of them still out there causing us all kinds of trouble. One of them still out there causing us all kinds of trouble. One of them still out there causing us all kinds of trouble. So we had to fix it and rebuild public trust. One of the ways to do it is these cases of significant public interest that matter.
So you should take that clip with him praising you as the best guy ever and play that after it.
All right. Here's the funny thing. The cases of significance, what he was talking about is the pipe bomber case, still unsolved. The White House cocaine story, still unsolved. The leaker of the Dobbs decision, not really an FBI crime, not even a crime as far as I can tell, but still unsolved. So the things that he was calling out, the big stuff that they were going to go out there and get the answers to, they haven't done it. And so everything I hear about Dan Bongino working at the FBI headquarters is that he doesn't even come into the office anymore. That seems to be pretty common. I've heard that from a half dozen sources at this point. And when he is there, he's just screaming at people because he probably knows that he's been beating up his reputation.
Oh, let me stop you. I told you the story off record, but I'm with a prominent person a few weeks ago. They can't do the interview quite away because Bongino's busy screaming at them.
Yeah. He's pissed. Because, I mean, he's walking.
All because they mildly just said in general, the FBI should be investigating everything about Kirk. Sorry, go ahead.
Listen, if you're not doing your job and people point it out, and maybe you can't do your job because of, you know, you don't have the ability, you don't have the skill set, or maybe the people around you are not getting the work done, it's infuriating, I'm sure. But Bongino walked into a job that he never had the ability to do. I think I told you that really early on. He's not the right guy because he doesn't have institutional knowledge. So the FBI keeps running circles around him and they keep doing what the FBI does. Now, I'm a little bit more worried about Patel. I think there's very different things. I think Bongino, I don't think he's a bad guy. I don't think he's compromised. I don't think he's like against America. I just think he's just not the right guy because he doesn't know how the FBI
works.
He's
a hothead tough guy.
And it doesn't work. That doesn't work when you're working around intelligence people that have been basically conning their way through the federal system as bureaucrats. The people that work at the top of the FBI, they're not the best case agents. They're lying to people for a very long time. They've been pitching what's called a 954. It's like an internal resume where they essentially say, we're the ones who saved the world and here's how we did it. They all got a huge boner. I hope you don't mind me saying that, but they got a huge boner when September I'm sorry, January 6th happened. I'm doing September 11th. They walked around in the office at Washington Field and said, this is our 9/11. Like, we're going to build our reputations on this.
Oh, the Democrats said it was worse than 9/11. Yeah, and now...
Right, they were so... But on the day of, the FBI was thrilled. They were so excited because they're like, this happened.
Now we can go
on
to the American people. Let's do a two-hour podcast free. It's been arguing on later, you're so busy, but let's move back to Patel. What's the intel signs you see in your sources that... Chi-Com compromise, because that's always the group that's the big threat.
That's right. So he immediately changed his tune. We all heard it. He went from saying, I'm going to go and get the Epstein files. I'm going to go out there and be the guy who brings transparency. I'm going to go gut the deep state. I'm going to close the Hoover building. I'm going to get rid of the intel component. I'm going to just do law enforcement. He keeps calling them cops. He says, we're going to let good cops be cops, which is a dumb slogan because FBI agents aren't cops. But that's what was his pitch. And then what did he do? Most of the arrests they have, they're touting like 28,000 arrests this year. They're almost all ICE arrests. Do you realize that? They're not the thing that he said. He didn't get rid of the people that we said right up front. And like, look, I was aggressively pushing to have this guy be the director because I knew his name and I had his phone number and I was giving him advice and he was hearing it. The problem is the other side got in there and started speaking to him right away. So he immediately fell in with the people that are what are called the FBI, or I call them the Mutual Admiration Society. It's former FBI agents and the people that protect the Bureau at all costs.
The FBI,
and they've gone
the
there
FBI
100%.
Permanent state.
Correct. It's literally what we would call deep state. This is the senior managers that got out. They still think
clear,
their reputation
he's clear, he's compromised.
100% on
the question
it.
Is how bad?
All right. I didn't realize this when I was advocating on him, but you guys have a story from Wired Magazine that predates his confirmation. We should pull the sucker up. It tells you about a company called Shein. Shein is a fashion forward company that steals American intellectual property. They've been doing it for a while. They're a serious problem for the fashion industry. They're a serious problem and they're classic sort of Chinese moves, which is that people build their stuff over in China. They get sewn or stitched over there. They turn around and they sell it out the back door under a different name. And Shein is one of the big companies that did it. For whatever reason, for reasons completely unbeknownst to the American people, Kash Patel got $5 million. That's the report from Wired. He apparently got a $5 million stock holding from the shell corporation in the Cayman Islands that actually owns and manages Shein. So he doesn't directly get money from the Chinese. He got a payout to own
an
ownership stake.
How do you spell Shein so we can pull this up?
Yeah, it's S-H-E-I-N. I sent it over there. They should be able to find it. Like I said, it's a Wired Magazine story going back to February, early week, before he even got sworn in. And so the question then is, well, what sort of managerial experience or consulting was he providing to a Chinese fashion company that steals American products? And you guys can see it right on there. They're a big e-commerce company. They've been doing this for a while. This was brought up during his confirmation hearing. And apparently DOJ
said, companies are 100% Chinese intelligence controlled.
Yeah, I mean, that's standard. You have to, if you want to do business outside of China and in China, you've got to do it with the consent of the Chinese Communist Party. That's what it works like. You know, we hear all these things about fascism in America, and I know that they're kind of a communist country, but they also have sort of this weird fake free enterprise. They're free enterprise as long as they do what the state says. So that's more like what actual fascism looks like. The Chinese kind of play that game really, really well.
And why on earth would they be paying? The national, the Office of National Intelligence and the National Threat Fusion Grid system, he wants them out of intelligence. That would be the perfect thing as a Chinese agent would be to say, no, we don't want this going on domestically. We don't want to interface with the group that would go, we have the FBI that's actually been doing its job, some arresting hundreds of Chinese agents. That would kill that.
And even more than that, the FBI has to work hand in glove with the various different collection platforms. So for example, when I worked Chinese counterintelligence, we got FISA material. We got information that was what is called signals intelligence, but we got it from the NSA. The FBI doesn't have the authority to collect that. It's a deal. It's a database with the NSA. Now, I'm not crazy about that collection platform, and I don't like the way they do it, and I don't like FISA in general. I think it's actually unconstitutional.
But it's set up to counter
7025.
China and major adversaries.
Correct.
And we're being blinded.
Yes. And again, it's the NSA's material, which means that your only connection as the FBI is that you're part of the USIC. So is the NSA. The boss for the United States intelligence community is Tulsi Gabbard. You have to play nice with her. So why would you even have any problems? And I had no idea about this $5 million payout. He's also taken money from Qatar and he hasn't been able to say what that was from. And I've read all the articles and nobody has a good answer. The claim was that he was like pushing something for, he was pushing something about the World Cup in 2022, but he still claimed that he was getting money from them in 23 and 24. So Kash Patel's got money coming in from places that don't make sense. And then here's the thing. Regardless of whether he was in like a government position or not, the man has had access to Donald Trump since the first Trump administration. And you can't deny that. And if you know anything about counterintelligence and you know anything about specifically the way the Chinese work,
have access.
They target people that have access, Alex, but also people that have had access. So historical access is still interesting to them. If you had a security clearance 10 years ago, the Chinese would still be willing to talk to you, and they might be willing to pay to talk to you. So that's the kind of stuff that we worked on in the actual work. It's like we're looking at targets past and present. Just because you don't have an active security clearance doesn't mean you're not going to be interesting to the Chinese as a target. And the fact that you have access to people, even if you're not currently read in, you've got access to a Donald Trump who formerly was like the top guy in the entire world for U.S. intelligence. Yeah, you're going to be a potential target.
Obviously, they know is going to probably get back in. So shifting
gears.
How
on earth is he getting a $5 million payout and DOJ doesn't say that's a conflict of interest? I don't understand that. That's the biggest
clearly,
crazy
Congress
thing to me.
Congress approved him because they knew all of those. And then you've that's got him saying he just clear lies, dozens of interviews with Stu Peters, his cell phone conversations. I don't know who Stu Peters is. Why don't you say, oh, he's gone crazy. Yeah, I did that show. I mean, again, they knew that. Why'd they do it? It's a big problem. So, Kash Patel, as we zero in on him, let's talk about the jet now, which is clear cut, just like the, we need to end FBI as its main mission being intelligence. We need to work with the intelligence agencies. Now, 180, also 180 on the jet, I have, you sent me the post where he was the guy pushing, look at director using the private jet for private stuff, and then he does a 180 on this. Let's talk about that.
Okay, so here's the deal. I think, as far as I could tell, Kash Patel zeroed in on the jet as a way to attack Chris Wray because of me specifically. I started talking about this early on because I knew about the jet because I know people in the FBI. There's the jet on the screen. That's the, you know, that's what it looks like. It's a beautiful jet. It's got a snow cone machine in the back of it. That's the tail number of the actual jet. This comes from the ADSB tracking websites. It's November 708 Juliet Hotel. We own it. The American taxpayers does. This is not like Kash Patel's personal jet or Chris Wray's personal jet. That's the FBI's jet. And it hangars out in Manassas, which I let him know about. Okay. We started talking about this probably in November when we first spoke in 2022. This goes back a long ways. The last time you and I spoke, Alex, I showed you guys. I brought whistleblower disclosures after he went and escaped from the hearing that we're seeing there. Brandon Dre, Daily Wire, we cooperated. We did a big story on this. And Kash Patel went on a talking tour and a tweeting or a truthing tour over on True Social, pointing out that this is nonsense, that you shouldn't be able to do this. And look at point number four right there. It's circled in there. He mandates himself to fly in a private jet that we pay for. Will you shut it down? That's a question he's asking to Merrick Garland at that time, the attorney general. So theoretically, he has the same opinion now, right? He would have to have the same opinion. He should be asking Pam Bondi, remove that policy. And he obviously has not done that. So let me give people some historical understanding. If you go back into the 90s, William Sessions was the FBI director and was eventually removed under Clinton because of malfeasance and misuse of the FBI's jet. There was another controversy that took place, and it happened under Mueller, and he actually used to fly coach everywhere he went. But somewhere between 2011 and 2013, there was a findings that was released by the federal government. It's the Government Accountability Office, GAO, if people want to go find it. And they made a change and they said, well, we're making the FBI director fly for all of his professional work on the jet, and then about 25% of the travel he does is actually personal, and he's allowed to fly commercial. And rather than give him discretion, we'd like to sort of say, let's unify these policies and make him fly travel on the private all the time. Now, it's a terrible look. It's really a terrible look in the middle of a government shutdown where air traffic controllers aren't getting paid and FBI employees are not getting paid. No crying from me. I went 14 months without a paycheck. They should be able to do it too.
But let's be clear. He's denying it, but he's running around to all these private events. You're able to track him while he does it.
That's right. And more importantly, he went out there and he aggressively pushed this nonsense. So what you're seeing on the screen right there, and you guys are seeing the graphic, you know, he reported down to Trump on yesterday night. So this is like November 1st. He flew down.
Oh,
they had a big party at Mar-a-Lago.
Tell us about that. The meeting didn't go well.
Well, it sounds like he got his ass chewed out like you'd expect because he made a terrible optic. And the words that I heard was essentially that if he goes out there and lets them distract them being Democrats and focus in on the hypocrisy of a guy that was saying, get rid of the government jet and you shouldn't be flying it. And Chris Wray's a bad guy and ground it and all this other nonsense. And you're going to go out there in the middle of a government shutdown and make it a center focus. By the way, millions and millions of impressions. The left has picked it up.
Yeah,
I started
but
with
that's
it
the
because
thing is, the
this
White
is my
House
story.
Should be thanking you because you're that's smart right. and ahead of the curve. The left's going to find this stuff just after you. They
just ground the guy.
Just cover this up is idiotic.
Okay, so here's two other pieces to that story. If you guys want to show the second graphic, the first one is that he went down to Mar-a-Lago last night. After the party, and after the ass chewing, I guess, he turned around and flew up none other to Nashville, Tennessee, which is where the girlfriend lives. So the person that kicked off this scandal was that Cash Patel flew up to State College, watched his girlfriend sing the national anthem, and then followed her home or maybe transported her home to Nashville. So this started this whole story, which again, the left has picked up. I'm on it because this is what I've been doing for years, literally 3 years of reporting on this. And now you've got him flying back right after getting his ass chewed by Trump. They blocked the transponder so we couldn't track it on FlightAware, but there's other ways to do it, which I did. And he turned around and he flew up to Nashville. So he's back hanging out with the girlfriend. I haven't seen him leave yet, but my sources tell me he's about to go on a trip to China. He's about to take that jet and fly to China and do an Asia tour, which I have no idea why you need to do if you're the FBI director and your job is like American law enforcement and also counterintelligence.
That's right? Major news. Wow.
I figured I'd just drop that on you for without warning. Isn't that crazy?
He's under scrutiny for this. He just got chewed out by the president, according to sources, and now he's running up to see the girlfriend.
And then not only is he going to run up to the girlfriend, but the next trip is supposed to be out to China where we're worried about what is he doing in China? The claim is that he's going to go talk to them about fentanyl. Why does the FBI director need to talk to anybody about fentanyl and precursors and so on? You know, at the end of the day, they're spending most of their energy and their efforts. They're out there getting all their arrests in the ICE world. They're going after people that have illegally overstayed or are criminals.
And bring me into this because it's central to it. I'm all over the Arctic frost crap.
Right.
Grassley says more is coming out. Target me, target my crew. I got my cell phone, which, by the way, they have a warrant to get that. They got through a civil suit. I bought them on it, spent $20,000. We looked it up when they tried to subpoena it. Nothing incriminating, but I'm like, no, I'm not giving you my whole cell phone. We were told the DOJ, like, if you give us search parameters, J6 stuff, we'll give it to you. Then they ran the headline, Jones is coming out of the dark. He's going to expose Trump. And I said, I had to release a letter. I said, no, I don't want to fight you. You might get the subpoena. If you ask for certain searches or J6 stuff, there's nothing there. I'll give it to you. No, we want your whole cell phone, and we've indicted Owen, and they told us. They said, we might let Owen off if you just give us a cell phone. So that was part of the Owen thing. And Owen's like, no, don't do it. So, and then we fight it. Then they get it through a civil suit anyways. But the point is that Todd Blanche knows all this. There wasn't just the one letter you heard about. I'll stop there. They caught them. The DOJ funding it, the CIA involved, not just the documents you've seen, folks. They've got it. Okay, I'm going to stop there. That's only I was contacted by the DOJ. I didn't call up Ed Martin and all this. And then Todd Blanche comes in and shuts this down with all this other stuff they've done. So to me, I see Patel acting bad. I see Todd Blanche doing all this. Overall, that's kind of a window into this. Not trying to put myself in a story. It's crazy.
No, but look, let's do Arctic Frost. If anybody goes through and looks at the documents, you guys can pull up the case and what they've showed. It's all redacted, and they're redacting the names of people that currently work at the FBI. Alex, they are not sharing with you the names of the people that were involved in it that are currently there because they've all been promoted from those roles. And one of the pieces that actually ties back into the jet as far as promotions go, you guys remember we came on and talked about how they got rid of five people. I exposed that the pilot.
Oh, yeah, you were telling me the other day. Start over. You were telling me, this is so much more talk on the phone. You're smart, talk fast. I talk fast too, but yeah, you were explaining like, this guy did this cover up, but still his boss is in place, what you're about to get to.
Well, yeah, listen to this. So they fired the former acting director, the guy who was the number one that Patel came in and took over for, right? So there was a guy, his name was Brian Driscoll. By all accounts, a really good guy. You know, he was an HRT operator, honorable person. He was the number one. He was the guy that was trying to depoliticize the FBI with what he did. They moved him over to be what's called the assistant director of a group called CIRG. That's the critical incident response group. CIRG owns the hostage rescue team, all of the aviation, the planes, and all the surveillance units that I used to work in. So Driscoll was the AD over there, assistant director. They removed him the other day. That happened in September. That was the big scandal where five senior people were fired, two case agents and three senior executives. They got rid of that. They've all filed lawsuits and they're all suing. The guy that replaced Brian Driscoll is a guy named Stephen Palmer. Stephen Palmer got fired yesterday, allegedly, we're told, because he was friends with Driscoll and he didn't get rid of my ability, Kyle Serafin's ability, to track that FBI jet. So they promote the same people that they fire. Remember, they promoted Stephen Jensen. He was the section chief that basically architected the counterterrorism plan to go after J6ers, declared them terrorists, and went under them after as domestic terrorists. That's Steve Jensen. He was promoted. He was the senior executive in the Washington field office. They just fired him a couple of days ago in that mass firing I was talking about. So the same guys that they're promoting are the same ones that they're freaking firing because they have absolutely no idea who they're dealing with, and they're just flailing blindly. And everything about this is like a toddler's temper tantrum.
Goes on Fox and says, you're the problem. No.
Right, exactly correct. No, I'm just telling you where the problems are.
Congressional law and blinding the FBI to the intelligence, you can't debate that. You can't debate the FBI not filing with the Chinese server farm. You can't debate Trump saying stop using the jet, which, you know, and then he's still doing it. It's a disaster.
Let's put a little nose on this because this started like the day that he was sworn in. I sent you guys a clip. It's a picture of Kash Patel and he's standing in a room full of people who all are wearing suits and he's saying thank you. And he brings up in his first few seconds after being sworn in as FBI director that he loves the jet and he has bad business acumen. That's a guy who apparently got $5 million from a Chinese company to be a consultant. And here he is talking about the jet. If you guys want to play that, it is incredibly damning because it sounds like a joke until 9 months later, you realize it's not that funny.
Well, we've got a limited crew tonight. One of our crew members was sick tonight. You sent us so much. Yeah, you got
there
us a clip.
That's
all right.
It.
All right, go ahead and roll the clip. Here it is.
And the only reason I took this job was because my business acumen sucks. All these guys have their own private jets, so the only way I was going to get going was becoming the director of the FBI.
Is saying I want the jet
and he says I've got two. It's truly nuts to think that like that's a joke, and of course it doesn't land. That was in a private party of friends, and they're all, you know, people that have a lot of money that backed him. The guy that's standing behind him is Mike Muldoon, and I sat at a dinner table with him and Kash Patel, and we talked about Chris Ray abusing the jet, and they were really, really outraged on it. I sent you guys a clip from Benny Johnson that basically tells what I think is maybe the worst as well, is that he actually knew that this is the trigger that you would be able to get the Epstein file. Shut down the jet, and you're going to be able to get Chris Ray to give up the Epstein files. He said it with his own words. I'm just pointing out the hypocrisy of it. Like, that makes me the bad guy, apparently.
So,
this is a real short clip.
Quick prediction here. Obviously, you got a lot of courage doing this because this guy's powerful, but I don't see him being there that long. Maybe he survives the midterms. I think he's gone if Trump's smart. Who will we replace him with? Who's good?
Andrew Bailey's ready to go. He's already been sworn in. He got there September 8th. So they've already got the backup guy, and he was the first choice of the Trump administration anyway. He's ready to go. He already works there. And by the way, he has no social media. And none of us is. Yeah, he was the former AG in Missouri. That's right. He's ready to go.
So the Trump administration is concerned about this when we know that.
Yeah, they have to be. And I know that what I'm told is that Susie Wiles and Stephen Miller are pissed that they've yelled at Kash about this specifically, because they understand optics. Even Pam Bondi, who I'm not real hot on, she was actually, she poo-pooed and canceled the idea that they were going to buy two additional jets. There was a story run back in July that actually she canceled it because she realized how bad the optics are.
Chase Geiser takes over in 2 minutes, but he's great. He understands. He can wait. If you want to finish up for like 5 minutes. Don't worry, Chase. He always says, take the whole show over. So he's a great guy. But I want to come back and finish up on this because here's the deal, though. Guys, they're going to put me in prison when they get back in. They're going to screw the country. They're going to start World War III. I'm not trying to start a fight with these people for no reason, okay? But the evidence is overwhelming. These people are out of control. We'll be right back. Here it is, ladies and gentlemen. And it's available right now exclusively. Limited first run. A little more comes in a month, but they got a limited run. Chase, tell us about what is in Ultra Methylene Red.
Well, I got to tell you, I've never been prouder of a product launch than I am of this. I really had a heavy hand in this.
And so we put this together as both a methylene blue super enhancer, especially with the cognitive focus benefits, the mitochondria empowerment, and the brain dropping off an extra electron for the brain cells. But it's also an incredible standalone product. I mean, just to give you an example, Alex, one of our best sellers when we were still operating the InfoWars store was Ultra 12. And this has everything that Ultra 12 had in it. 206,000% your daily value of vitamin B12 through methylcobalamin. It's even got the CoQ10 in it, of course, which is huge. But this is the most impressive compilation of ingredients that I've ever seen in a supplement. I'm very proud that we launched it. I'm very proud that it's our second tincture on the market. And when I'm looking through these studies, I mean, here are the benefits that are listed. Migraine prevention, cardiovascular help, cellular protection. We've got neurotransmitter synthesis and mood helps. People with depression, according to these studies that I've looked at here. Even energy and fatigue reduction, more cardio production, cognitive support, mood cognition, endothelial function. I mean, it goes on and on. nerve regeneration, cognitive and mood support.
Everything we sell is the most insanely powerful, best thing we can come up with, because this is what we take. So that's why everybody just raves and raves and raves about the products at thealexjonescore.com.
In times uncertain of what the future holds, when cameras see everything and silence speaks louder than words, you'll need more than just awareness. You'll need focus. You'll need power. Fuel your mind. Energize your body. Stay sharp in the age of control with Methylene Blue from thealexjonesstore.com. Because no matter how advanced the system becomes, your energy is your freedom.